Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Let me just pray as we begin our time in the Word together. Lord God, I thank you that your Word is alive. Your Word is living, it is active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, we ask tonight that you would open your word to us. You would reveal new things to us. You would teach us more of who you are, how much you love us, and how you are calling us to live. I pray for the power to work in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I do actually have one little more thing I wanted to share about the Philippines trip that Darren won't share because it's about him. And he's the shy, retiring type. And I don't have a photo. I should have had a photo. But Darren was actually commissioned and into a new role with DCPI as the World Zone Leader for Asia, Southeast Pacific. So that map of all those countries in Southeast Asia, for DCPI, he now leads that ministry. He's taken over from John Bond. John has moved sideways into another role for DCPI. So this is a pretty big deal. He's, I think, the youngest World Zone Leader in the organisation, and is very much a part of the heart of his mission and call from God to plant churches. So let's congratulate Darren in that. Well, I have the pleasure of bringing the word to you tonight, and it is a topic that is close to my heart, the topic of worship. And worship is many things. Worship is how we relate to God in our everyday, whether it's sitting quietly in our bedroom, reading the Bible, or if it's here together, singing praises to Him. And I guess the focus tonight is more about in this situation, primarily when we are gathered together, but also we can take these principles into our personal worship time as well. My experience of worship in churches is broad. I don't know about you, if you've been to different types of churches and experienced worship in different places. I've been to many churches, some more charismatic or outgoing, where there's flag waving and lots of people clapping and dancing. I've been into mega churches in the United States where there's a giant, you know, LED screen, the back of the stage, and there's a band, and I've been to more traditional churches. I grew up in an Anglican school, so there was the liturgy with the call and response kind of thing. I married into a Catholic family. Darren's family is Catholic, so a lot of the ceremonies and weddings and funerals are in the Catholic Church, so I've experienced that. But I've also experienced church in more humble settings, whether it was in a tin shed in Haiti with no air conditioning and sometimes no power, or outdoors in another part of Asia somewhere. I've had varied experience, and every one of those churches has a different style of worship, from modern to the old hymns, contemporary Christian to the high liturgy with the smells and bells, as they say. And there's, like I said, the mega churches with their lights and screens, and I've seen it all. And as I reflect on all of those experiences, I have to say that the times that I actually felt closest to God, where it felt like that veil between heaven and earth was thinnest, was in the most humble of settings. It was in the places and the times when the worship was just simple. Simple worship. The kind of simple where the power was completely out. Or if that happened, it wouldn't dramatically affect what was planned in the worship service. Now, my aim is not to cast aspersions or to put down any particular tradition of church. I don't want you to hear that from me tonight. Every church tradition is valid and has a place, I believe, in the kingdom of God and in what the broad picture of who God is. He is a God of creativity and variety. So don't hear me think putting those things down. But really, I want us just to come back to what is the basics of worship? What is the basics of why we were created? We were created to worship God. We were created to worship God. God created you for himself. Everything was made to worship him and to serve him. Isaiah 43, the wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. So we were created to worship God. It's part of the purpose of why we exist. But how? How are we to worship God? Is the next question. And I think the best place to go for answers for that is to the Bible, the ultimate instruction manual for life. And one of the best places to find out how we are to worship God, I think, is from Jesus himself. And if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to John chapter 4. It will be on the screen as well. But John chapter 4 is the very well-known passage of Jesus with the woman at the well. Jesus is there waiting, knowing he's going to have this conversation with this lady who has come to get water from the well. And she's come in the middle of the day, in the hottest part of the day, because she's been rejected by society. She's been rejected by people, and she comes and Jesus is there. And they have a conversation. And during the course of this conversation, the Samaritan woman perceives something special about Jesus. She sees something special in him, and she says to him, "Sir, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that the Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped?" So the woman had observed something. She'd observed that the Jews were saying that the only place to worship God was in Jerusalem, but that the people that she was from felt it was going to be in this other place. And it was true. The Jerusalem temple was the only location where God could be officially worshipped properly, according to the Jews. But it's interesting to hear Jesus' response to her question. And I truly believe it revolutionizes our perspective of worship. Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on the mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way." In this statement, Jesus is basically saying that from now on, worship is not at a particular place. It doesn't need to be in a particular place. He shifts the focus from an external location to an inward location. Worship was no longer about the place, but about the heart. The location, Samaria or Jerusalem, is inconsequential because the temple building no longer matters. Why don't you talk to each other about your experience of worship in different churches? If you've had a different experience of worship in a different church, chat to the person near you, next to you, about what that was like. Thank you. So as I was saying, the location didn't matter. The temple no longer mattered. God no longer dwells in a building made by man. But within the very bodies of believers, raised from death to life through the blood of Jesus. We read that in 1 Corinthians. It is in this new spiritual house that we believers offer our spiritual sacrifice of worship to God. Pilgrimages to holy sites, praying while facing certain directions, or ritual sacrifices, they have no place in this new promise, in this new covenant that Jesus came to fulfill. There are still external elements to worship. We must worship in truth, just as much as in spirit. But the external things have been radically simplified from what they were previously. The elements of worship we find in the New Testament church are pretty ordinary. We read about them gathering together, that those times gathered together, there was God's word that was both read and preached. There were elements of prayer, times of prayer together. They shared in communion. They broke bread. They shared in communion together. There was singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. These elements could be done just as easily in a large gathering in Jerusalem or in a small house church in Corinth. All that was needed was God's word, some bread, and some wine. Pretty simple. If this is the case, it becomes evident that our worship, when in line with God's word, will inevitably also be simple. So does that mean that we shouldn't have different forms of worship, that we shouldn't have instruments or amplified sound or lights or video? Well, I don't believe so. I believe those things can still aid and still are needed in a contemporary society as we are trying to help people engage in church and in some ways compete against the world and what the world is offering. But they are not and should not ever be essential to our worship. The elements that are essential are the people gathered, the word of God, and communion. That's what Jesus presented to us, the simplicity of worship. To make these essential elements of worship is to go towards what Jesus told the woman at the well. But what does it mean for us today? How can we apply this principle of simple worship to our lives? Well, I've got three things for you, three things that I believe simple worship needs. The first is you, me, us. Before Jesus, worshippers built altars to bring a sacrifice, to offer it to God. The offering of a sacrifice was an act of worship and was more important than the altar that it was being offered on. Today, because of the cross of Jesus, no blood sacrifice is required. Hallelujah. Amen. Instead, we are asked to bring ourselves. We bring ourselves. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? We are the key component to simple worship. We don't need a full band of musicians, a fancy building in order to worship God. Our bodies are the temple of the Spirit of God, and we need to present our bodies as living sacrifices, offering ourselves in worship to God. one that is ready to go where he sends. An offering of ourselves that is ready to say the words that he gives us. Or to do what he instructs us to do. Even in the Old Testament, God told the people that he was more interested in their obedience to him than he was their sacrifices. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. The second thing that I believe is a key element in simple worship is God. Jesus said we must worship in spirit. The Spirit of God is a necessary element in worship. This includes the condition of our heart. Christ has to be in our heart. In the book of Revelation, there's a letter. So we've looked at Revelation recently in some of our messages, and they're letters written to seven churches. And one of the churches is the church of Laodicea. And God says, or Jesus says to this church, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That church in Laodicea was meeting together, and they were a pretty well-off church, by all accounts. And they had that outward appearance of being very successful. But if we take Jesus' words to that church, it would seem that maybe Jesus wasn't in it. That maybe they didn't have the Spirit amongst them. Jesus was standing outside the door of the church knocking to get back in. Gathering without the Spirit is just a formality. Religion but no relationship. Ritual but no connection to the living God. Worship through the Spirit is about us connecting with God through his Son Jesus. And like I said before, we are now the temple of the living God. He dwells in us. Simple worship requires that we sacrifice ourselves, that we invite God by assembling together in his name and also focus on the truth. Where two or three are gathered, Jesus said, "There I am in their midst." So simple worship requires you, me, us, the temple of the Spirit of God, sacrificially laying down our wants and our desires for the Lord. It requires God making room for him to dwell in our midst when we are gathered together and to move as he wills. When worship is complicated, it's harder to be flexible and to move as the Spirit wills. And lastly, the third element, truth, as Jesus said to the woman at the well. Jesus highlighted that we are to worship not only in spirit, but also in truth. I heard about a pastor of a very large church in the USA, and they had a Sunday morning worship service, and it was orchestrated down to the second. You know, they had it all timed out, everything perfectly timed out. It was a science. And the church had hired the best singers. Sometimes that happens in the United States, they actually pay their worship team to be there. Would you like to be paid to be here tonight? They actually pay professional musicians to come in and play in their worship teams. So they had everything down to perfect timing. They'd hired the best singers, the best band they could find, and they put on a really good show, in inverted commas, every time they met together. It was a really high standard. But one day, God brought the pastor under conviction, and he went and he told his board that if things didn't change, he could no longer serve as that pastor of that church. This church had over 10,000 people. And the board went, thankfully, with the pastor's leadership and replaced the worship team and the band with people from the congregation and turned the focus of the church around. They didn't want it to be a show anymore. Week after week, they lost members. People stopped coming. And after a time, they'd lost a third of their membership. But whilst their church size had shrunk, their passion for Jesus had increased. Those who were there not for themselves, not to be entertained, but they were there for His greater mission. They were there because they were called by God to be there and believe that He had a purpose for them being there. It's not always the popular thing to do, but it's the right thing when we elevate truth above everything else in our worship time together. Truth was a key element that Jesus mentioned in how we should worship. Not location, not tradition or ritual, but truth. John 17 says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Only God's word has the power to bring the necessary conviction upon the hearts and souls of men and women. And then Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is alive and active," just as I prayed at the beginning of our time together, "sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." It's a bit scary, actually, if you think about it. Are you ready for God to really put His finger on the things that might be a little bit hard to hear? I hope that you are, because that's when we see breakthrough in our lives. And our times of worship should be about that. Going back again to that letter in Revelation to the seven churches, there was another letter to the church in Philadelphia. Not Philadelphia, PA. I think that's probably where it got its name from. But the church in Philadelphia. And this letter was the only letter that didn't rebuke a church. And in it, Jesus said, "I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." As I read that scripture in my preparation, I thought of us. Carawarra. "I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." In other words, you've been faithful to the call that God has on you as a community. And I believe God would say the same to us. We're being faithful to the call that God has on us. Even though it might not look too flash sometimes. There was an emphasis in this church on the word of God, both in declaration and in action. So as we close tonight, I wonder if we could take a moment to reflect on two questions. Firstly, are you satisfied with your worship? Whether it's how you worship God when we're gathered here together, or other times of worship throughout the week when you may be alone or with your family or wherever you might worship God. Are you satisfied? And secondly, do you need to come to the Lord today and renew your desire to worship God? I just want you to sit with those questions for a couple of minutes. If you want to close your eyes and reflect on it, you're welcome to. God instructed the Israelites not to build a fancy altar with carved out stones, because it would have become a distraction to simple, true worship. My prayer is that we guard our own hearts and not allow ourselves to become distracted in our worship. We live in a complicated world, but as believers, we're called to simply worship God in spirit and in truth. It doesn't require anything fancy, just ourselves, a filling of the Spirit of God in us, and the truth of God's word. Extravagance can be found in the world, But Christ alone is the true treasure worth pursuing. And I'll leave you with this psalm and ask the worship team to come on back up. The Psalm of David, Psalm 27. And may this echo in your hearts this week. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Let's pray. Lord, there is nothing else that this world could offer that could satisfy like being in your presence. And Lord, we can overcomplicate things so much so that we miss the point or we get distracted. And Lord, I pray for myself and for anyone else who wants to pray this prayer that you would take us back, take me back to heart of worship, to simple worship, where the core of who I am, what I was created to do and be, is outworked. I was made to worship you. I pray that you would help us each to find that simplicity and the truth of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.